Flightgate and the Cashman thing with the Yankees. But over the weekend, I got so many emails on this. It was, I guess, being on Long Island. Connecticut officials coordinate earthquake preparation. And apparently there is a legitimate concern for an earthquake in Connecticut. And then, what do I read today in today's Newsday? I hope I didn't lose it. Today's Newsday, get this headline. World inches closer to doomsday. The bulletin of the atomic scientists say Earth is closer to human-caused doomsday now than it has been in the more than 30 years because of global warming, and nuclear weaponry. Now, it's interesting, I invited our earthquake specialist, David Nabhan, to join us. David, welcome aboard. How are you?
Hey, John. Thanks for having me on again. I appreciate it.
You know, something triggered when they talk about the world inches closer to doomsday. Then we've got the earthquake concern in Connecticut. We live out here on Long Island, just one big island surrounded by water. And when I hear about an earthquake possible in a neighboring state, between and I live on the island between the Atlantic Ocean and the state that's apparently going to have an earthquake.
So you're worried about a tsunami.
David, fill us in. I mean, is it a legitimate concern? Is it, you know, first of all, the earthquake possibility in Connecticut, you know, go from there and let us
know. Well, you know, you made some good points last week, John, about people looking superficially at important things like, you know, the acquisition of energy, for example, and not realizing that there's a natural rhythm to any interaction with the Earth's dynamics that doesn't heed our wishes or our cell phones or, our politics. And while a lot of people were pointing to that little swarm of mini quakes that jostled your area last week, there were a few reasonable voices that I'd like to repeat, like Eastern Connecticut State University geology professor Dr. Cunningham told the NBC News in Providence that, and I'm quoting him here, the Lake Char Fault has released a lot of its stress, and we always hope for many small quakes rather than one big one. So Connecticut's earthquake swarm may have, in fact, been good news rather than bad news. And, you know, Dr. Cunningham's point bears repeating with regard to, you know, fracking elsewhere, too. If fracking helps trigger quakes in relatively quiescent seismic regions like yours or Ohio or Texas or Oklahoma, it may actually be a process where, you know, potential seismic energy is being wrung out little by little.
Rather than a great big one.
Rather than one big one. So, you know, your point about, having our cake and eating it, too, last week is, you know, it's a bankrupt notion. You're quite right. We can't have billions of cell phones and TVs and the rest powered without the slightest bump in the road.
As far as a possible earthquake in Connecticut and its impact on Long Island, what would it be, David?
Well, you've got, you know, I hate to call them faults. I made the point that, they're really called aborted rifts. The Ramapo Fault Zone is the biggest one near you. It goes through the southern tier of New York. It's 185 miles long, and it goes from Pennsylvania through New Jersey and New York, and it ends just north of New York City, right at the Connecticut border. And that these you know, it's not as if two great plate boundaries are grinding past each other, though. These are ancient cracks that were formulated when Pangaea broke up 200 million years ago, and they can be reinvigorated from time to time as forces get as the plate is jostled by other plates, and so like Charleston, it's possible that a big quake could take place on the East Coast. Charleston was completely destroyed in 1886 by a monster 7.4 earthquake. So nobody can, you know, this is a crapshoot, really. I'm the guy that wrote the book Earthquake Prediction Answers in Plain Sight, and I'm quite well aware that, you know, this is we're talking in broad brush strokes. So as far as I'll just say this. I agree with Dr. Cunningham. Little quakes, lots of little quakes, rather than one big one, is what one would likely be happy to see.
Now, as far as an impact on Long Island, is a tsunami realistic for Long Island if an earthquake happened? If let's say a sizable earthquake, what would be a sizable earthquake that could actually cause something like a tsunami? First of all, is a tsunami possible on Long Island?
I'm one that has castigated people for, you know, never saying never, and so yeah. I'm going to follow my own advice. Certainly, yeah. You can have an earthquake anywhere on planet Earth, at any place, at any time. It doesn't have to be on the San Andreas. What happened in Connecticut shows that. It's just, boy, you're talking about probabilities that are really way out there. Now that I've said it, I'll probably wind up living to regret it because, that's the nature of people trying to imagine that they know everything. I don't know everything. I don't think there's quite a number of people who'd be able to answer that question for you. But
I like the fact that you brought up the point. Okay, and the last time you were on the program, because I'm a big hydrofracker. I believe in hydrofracking. I think we need alternative sources of energy. It's sitting under, underneath our feet type thing. And you brought up the fact that, yeah, hydrofracking does cause, technically earthquakes.
Yes.
Small.
It can trigger them.
It could trigger them. And that may actually be a good thing, I guess.
It may actually be a good thing. Yeah.
Now, can it trigger a large one? Or?
Well, now, that's why I said I'm keeping this matter constrained to your neck of the woods. I, as far as fracking under Los Angeles or in the Monterey Field near San Francisco, that I'm going to completely say that's a whole school, that's another discipline for another for another topic at another radio station. But insofar as I'm concerned, on the East Coast, where you have these potential for these little baby, I'll call them baby quakes, because there was what, ones and twos and threes, and there 11 quakes that rumbled through Connecticut, just shaking glasses. On the one hand, we have that. As opposed to on the other, the risk and rewards, we're talking about 3,000 trillion cubic feet of natural gas under the United States. And look at what happened in Saudi Arabia and Yemen yesterday. I mean, we've buying our energy from those dysfunctional countries.
I'm telling you.
This is a national suicide pact.
We can't
do that anymore.
With that natural gas, it's by taking that natural gas that's down underneath us. Would you argue that's a good thing, natural thing? It seems as though does gas naturally want to get out, burst out?
Yeah, well, it's constrained within the shale, the oil shale beneath bedrock. So you're actually pumping water and other chemicals under pressure into the bedrock to break it and then free the gas. And that's the difference between just simply the way we've always extracted gas in Texas, for example, natural gas, where you can just break into a reservoir and naturally the pressure pushes it out. This is a little different. It's manhandling the subterranean environment, and you're breaking the shale up, and you're freeing gas that we naturally would not have gotten a chance to get to, but it turns out that's where it is. That's where this tremendous reservoir of natural gas and petroleum is.
So, again, just to get back to the original point, my original question, just it's natural for the gas to want to get out. And I'm no physicist, obviously.
Well, it is, unless it's within fracking gets natural gas out that we wouldn't be able to actually,
right.
It's not in the gaseous state. It is within it's within the solid structure of the shale, the shale oil itself. So it's a little more brusque of a process. So you're actually breaking up, you're breaking up layers of bedrock under the surface so as then to free the gas, which would naturally then tend to rise to the top.
Hmm. So, but just to come full circle here, David, as far as the earthquakes that Connecticut experienced, Long Island at this point doesn't need to, pack up and leave yet.
I wouldn't leave.
There's a lot of other reasons to leave Long Island. Earthquakes isn't one of them, right?
Yeah, I've been listening to your show. It seems like you've got quite a number of reasons to leave.
Oh, we've got a lot of reasons.
I saw what happened with your assembly leader.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, and that story's that's just the tip of the iceberg, too, by the way.
Well, I thought we had strange politicians here in Pittsburgh and Chicago, so I guess you've got your share, too.
You've got it. David, it's always good to talk to you. Thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate your insight.
My pleasure, John. Thanks
All
for
right,
having
God
me.
God bless. David Nevin joining us. Earthquakes in Connecticut, a little bit concerning. I don't want to give you 1,000 reasons to leave New York. We don't need 1,000 reasons. But I'm glad you're, I'll tell you, the fact that